Coming up, we're talking Universal Orlando's Cinematic Celebration. From the Bob Varley Studio in Orlando, Florida, this is the Universal Edition of the Diz Unplugged. This is episode 182 of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. The Diz Unplugged Universal Edition is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel, experts at helping you plan the perfect universal vacation. Visit them on the web at www.dreamsunlimitedtravel and get your free no-obligation quote today. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. I am your host, Craig Williams. Today, I am joined alongside by my Coost, like a ghost co-host.
Ooh, spooky.
Yes, Mr. Rhino Clavin.
Hello.
Hey, yeah, speaking of spooky, we're actually not talking about anything Halloween Horror Nights related for 1 week.
What's the point of this, then?
Yep, okay, well, that'll do it for this episode. Links, show notes, all that stuff. No, we have a very fun episode for you. We're going to do kind of a breakdown slash analysis slash not really do that, but just talk about Universal Orlando's newest nighttime spectacular, the Cinematic Celebration, also known as Universal Orlando's Cinematic Celebration. So you've heard us talk about this for a while now, just starting all the way back when we knew that there was going to be a new nighttime show coming, and then a couple weeks ago, probably a month or two now, when we knew that things were getting closer and closer, and they finally released the name, and we're like, oh, it's not going to be around until probably the end of summer. Boy, did we call that one wrong.
That moved really fast. You were in Paris, and that felt like not that long ago. I'm trying to actually think when that was. It was the last week of May, first week of June. Because it was, you were in Paris the same time I was in Disneyland.
Yes.
And it was while you were gone, because I remember thinking, oh, geez, who's going to write this up?
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I knew the answer was not me.
Yeah, no, that was not you. But no, yeah, that it
I can't
all
read.
Just. Yeah, well, it's fine. You will one day. But no, that it did all come along so, so quickly there. And lo and behold, not surprising and not surprising people. You know, Universal has never really done a lot of big celebrations for the 4th of July. They don't have the infrastructure to go as crazy with fireworks. You know, they had it for the last nighttime show, the Cinematic Spectacular. They'll shoot them off over top of the Music Plaza stage. And so back 2 weeks ago, you know, they announced everything that was going to be happening for the 4th of July. And they said, well, we'll have concerts on the stage with lots of characters, meet and greets, parties, fireworks there, and that was kind of all that was going to be it. But no, Universal decided to debut Universal Orlando's Cinematic Celebration.
A little surprise.
Yes, for the 4th of July, which I think that's a great way to debut it. Unfortunately, I guess I was out of town for that night, so I wasn't there for that. And I'll be just flat out honest, even with the debut of a new show like that, On the 4th of July, I still would not have been there. I have a very strict routine. If I'm in Florida on the 4th of July holiday, on the 3rd of July, I go and watch the Magic Kingdom fireworks.
Oh, your wife told me.
Yep, I watched the 4th of July. I watched the July 3rd fireworks at Magic Kingdom because they shoot off their 4th of July fireworks on both the 3rd and 4th of July. And then you go to Epcot for their fireworks on the 4th of July. And back in the day when they used to do special fireworks too for Hollywood Studios, you would line yourself up with like trying to be maybe right around Mexico or Norway, so that way you could also then watch their fireworks shooting off over France and Morocco area and then catch the Epcot ones. I was pretty psychotic about it, if you can't tell.
Sounds like it.
So long story short, I wouldn't have been there for the debut anyways. If I was in Orlando, I would have been over on Disney property. That's just my thing. That's how I do it.
I heard the fireworks from my house because I live next to Universal. Like, well, I was like, oh, they must be doing something.
They did. They as far as everything that I saw, because I did follow along with people enjoying Cinematic Celebration on the first night. They did. They presented the show and they shot off the fireworks over the Music Plaza stage, but apparently the pyrotechnics did not go off with the actual show on the night it debuted. So, but I guess there was also, it was pouring or something, and there was weather delays.
Yeah, because I was outside, and it was a weird thing that was happening, because I always buy sparklers and like to do the photos and stuff like that. So we were out in the parking lot playing with the sparklers, and I could hear it started like raining, and then you could hear it thundering and you could see lightning, but it was at the same time fireworks were going off, and I just kept saying, this is a very unsettling sound. I'm one dinosaur roar away from like relieving myself in my pants.
Quite excellent. That's always a relief. But yeah, so it went off on July 4th for the very first time, started its technical rehearsal run. So just to catch up the people who aren't quite in the know on a technical rehearsal, it is Universal's term for when a attraction or show will start beginning previews. For the general public, they don't, you know, in the past, they used to do the fanfare like Walt Disney World would do in some circumstances with the, okay, first it'll be cast members or team members, and then after that, we'll do annual pass holders, and then after that, then we'll start letting the public in, and then it'll be grand open. Universal still does, like, its team member previews, and then lately it's just been like open
I like their like sneak attack way about doing it, though. It feels like it eases you into it, and then also like it gets you excited that you're like, maybe I'll just walk by it and it'll be open. Like that happened with Diagon Alley. I was in there like a week before it officially opened, I think, or something, and it was, you know, it was just like a fun little surprise, but nobody was in there.
It keeps everyone on a level playing field.
Yeah,
and that's what I like about it, that you don't get rewarded for being for paying the money for a pass holder. Not that I don't like getting good stuff as an annual pass holder. I don't like getting those little extra opportunities every now and then. But honestly, I would be so disheartened if I was down on vacation for a week and came to a place like Universal and saw like, oh my gosh, they're doing previews, but only for annual pass holders. And so I can't get in. Like that's...
Yeah.
It's a little sad.
I give you an example of it. When they were doing it for Toy Story Land and they were doing it for like cast members, they had a lot of people who were walking up being like, I'm an annual pass holder. So I think it creates kind of like a whole messy, it's not great for your guests that are just there, you know?
Yeah. But that's a whole nother discussion aside from all of this. But it started its technical rehearsal period. If you're in the Disney know, you probably call it a soft opening. And we try to stay away with that because there's too many jokes to be made. And it's actually just kind of disgusting when you start thinking about it. So technical rehearsal phase. And just got the email. It was last night, so this is Wednesday that we're recording this before release tomorrow on Thursday, but I can't even find the email now, but got an email with an invitation to the grand opening of Cinematic Celebration. I believe that was on July 16th, if I can remember correctly, which I believe I may or may not.
July 16th. Gosh, I am never... Wait.
That's Monday.
Oh, okay.
That's this coming Monday.
Oh, okay, never mind then.
So, yeah, a very short technical rehearsal period, and then grand opening on July 16th. So, just so everyone knows, like, during the technical rehearsal period again, it's basically the show as it's going to be, except that there can be little things changed and tweaked during the show. I mentioned, of course, on and on about the fireworks not shooting off the very first night that it happened. There's always the chance that that could happen during a technical rehearsal. They could say, okay, well, we're not going to shoot off the fireworks. Something could start happening with the fountains and they have to eliminate effects, projections, anything like that. But the idea is to get the show as presentable as possible and tested and tested and tested as much as they can before it officially debuts. And so I guess they're also very comfortable with where the show's at right now with it, that they can go ahead with the grand opening. But grand opening, yeah, July 16th, very, very exciting. And I can't wait for it. But, you know, we can't talk about this show without actually having seen it. So luckily for us, we have seen it.
Mm-hmm.
So... I always like to give you a little bit of time to add in your sassy mm-hmms whenever possible. And now that's enough. That just it was you had it, and then it went just a little bit too far. That's okay though. That's fine.
Somebody's got a text tone out there of me doing that. I know you do. I know you do.
Well, there's better things in life than that. But you know what? Different strokes for different folks. That's what I say. Tomatoes, tomatoes, potatoes, potatoes. Anywho, yeah, so I guess without anything else, it's kind of time to talk about the show. So what is Cinematic Celebration, to catch you all up on if you already forgot about it? Well, it is a fountain show that is taking place in the Universal Orlando Lagoon. The Universal Studios Florida Lagoon inside the park. So this basically is just smack dab in the middle. A little bit of Production Central touches it. New York touches it. San Francisco. Hollywood. Everything just basically is right there plopped in the right side of the park. And for this show, though, it can be viewed from multiple areas, not like the last show, if you had the chance to see that, where that had like designated areas, but you could kind of see from everywhere and enjoy it. This one, to enjoy it thoroughly, you should be in their designated viewing area that they built for it, which we talked about that a couple weeks ago. Again, this is in the Central Park area of Universal, so in between Woody Woodpecker's Kid Zone and Hollywood. It slipped out of my mind for a second there. And so, yeah, they have this great designated viewing area just specifically for this show, and it's tiered up on different levels. So there are technically three main levels that you can watch the show from. And the first one has a little bit of obstructed views because there are rocks in front of the actual lagoon and where the fountains are. Then the next level, I would probably say that is right around the ideal viewing level for it. That's kind of where you're definitely going to want to be. Then the third level is even better because you do have that a little bit higher elevation. My problem is when we're talking about a nighttime show and being a little bit higher up, you have lots of people down in front of you. You start running into the problem where you start seeing all these cell phones pop up and take pictures. And I'm not saying they're going to block your view, but for me, I find it distracting when I'm seeing bright screens in front of me. And you know, that's why they tell you on attractions and stuff to turn off your flash. Don't let your video screens on. It can be very
distracting. I try to always make sure when I start doing that, because I like to take the pictures too and the videos to look back and make people jealous and whatnot.
Yeah.
You just swipe down, bring the brightness all the way down.
Yeah, well, and you don't even have to do that. Hold it right in front of your body and just look down, or like don't. The problem is when people start holding their phones all the way out and then all the way up.
My biggest one is when you raise it over your head. Yeah. And I'm like, no. If you're going to just like hold it up in front of you, that's okay with me. I don't care about that. But your phone is not my phone. I don't want to look at it.
Yeah. And I will, you know, I complain about that sometimes. But I do know, too, I have a very large tripod that sometimes does reach over people's heads. I try not to use it unless it's very, very important circumstances, like debuts of fireworks shows that we've never seen before, things like that. But yeah, so that's my opinion on being in the third row. You're going to start seeing a lot of cell phone screens and stuff that can distract from the show. And then they have one more level up above that third level, and that's like a grassy knoll area. And you can stand there, and they did recommend it. But at the same time, too, it's only probably another half a foot or a foot above the third level. So really, unless you're tall, unless you're a person of my height, you're just going to be looking at bodies.
Are the other three tiers sitting?
No, it's all standing.
It's all standing, okay.
Yeah, it's all standing, and it's very nicely tiered, and I guess that's the time to say, too. Rhino saw the show from my video not actually being there. I went there to witness the show. He's watched the video, but honestly, and I know we can say that, well, you have to see it in person to truly understand it.
Well, I don't want to talk about how I feel about it yet from the video, but, you know.
Well, we will get there. But that's the basic viewing practices with it. In terms of how much area is there for those different tiers, it is very, very long. Like, I was shocked when you looked at it from the opposite side of the park.
It looked small.
Yeah, it looked very small. But once you get over there, it goes on and on and on. There's a lot of space. However, to get that perfect center view, there is not a ton of space for that.
And how early before the show did you try and get there to get a good lined up shot?
My ideal for when I wanted to get there for it was I wanted to be there an hour early. However, I got there at like probably about 50 minutes ish before, 55 minutes, and go up to the ticket and go to scan my ticket and find out that my annual pass expired.
See, here's the weird thing. Did the parking guy not tell you?
No, because it was after 6 o'clock, so they don't. It's free parking.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Because that's why I was like, how'd you get all the way up there and not know?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So I went, and then I had to wait in guest services and took forever to get my annual pass renewed. I mean, that's the funny part. You go up and there's all the windows are taken and everyone's up at there for 10, 15 minutes at a time. And then I show up with my annual pass, have my credit card out waiting, say, can I renew this? And it was literally done in about 90 seconds. It's like, how? But anywho, I do have
a random question while we're talking about annual passes, in case anybody out there is thinking about this. Can you not renew your annual pass online or by calling customer service? I know that you were in the park, and so the easiest way for you to do it was go up there, but I'm just curious because I don't want to go up there. But mine is expired as well, because mine expired the same day as yours.
I know you can't do it at the ticket windows. I've always done it at guest services.
Me too, and then because I pay for it all at once too. But I know that you can call whenever there's an issue and they correct a payment issue. So that's why I was like, did they give you a new card?
No, I still have my old card. So I'm assuming, you could call.
I'm going
to
try
be able to do that. But
nah, I'll find out and report back.
Okay. Well, no, I always just go do it that way. It's the classic way. It's the easy way.
But I don't.
For me.
It's I'm hot and sweaty, and I don't want to wait in line. You at least want at night, but yeah.
Issues be issues. Anywho, again, so long story short, there. Sorry for the all the digressions. I ended up getting a spot probably about, I would say, 35 minutes before the show started, and. I will say that the prime straight on in the center screen viewing area, that was already well taken up. Even off to the little bit of the left, little bit to the right sides of that center view, those were all taken up too. And by taken up, I don't mean like people back off the rails. I'm saying there was one long line across like right on the front rails. And that's for the second and third tiers. The grass had no one in it at that current time, and down right on the rocks, they didn't have a lot of people waiting there yet, but that's because you have to be a little bit taller in order to stand behind the rocks and still see the screens. Like me at 6'3", I was able to stand up above and still see everything perfectly, but if you're maybe like 5'9" or shorter, unless you get like an area cut through where you can see the screens through like holes in the rocks and stuff, then you have to be careful with that. But long story short, again with that, so at 35 minutes, I couldn't get that prime viewing area right up on a rail on the second or third tier. But with about 20 minutes left in the show, I kind of sacrificed a spot that wasn't as ideal, and I went down to the first area right on and right up against one of the rocks and had a little bit of a gap to kind of watch it through and shoot through. And I even once the show started, there was still plenty of viewing areas on right up against the front railing in the first row. So it's not a show that if you're just planning on walking up to see, unless you're all very short, you don't necessarily need to get there earlier. But I would recommend to have prime viewing area, a prime viewing area for it. Maybe show up about 45 minutes to an hour before. If you're okay just getting a decent spot, not the best, like 30 minutes before. And if you're fine just getting a view of it, maybe you have a little bit of obstruction, this or that, 15 minutes before. You'll be fine. But that's it for the viewing aspects of it. Technical details of the show. It's a 20-minute-long fountain show mixing several different aspects of the show itself. It's got a bunch of actual fountains that shoot straight up, move side to side, circle, twirl, everything you've seen in other fountain shows out there, whether you've seen World of Color.
There was a lot more fountains than I expected, though. I will say that.
Yeah.
They're not messing around with those fountains.
No, they got a lot. And then there's many, many actual water projection screens. There's one main one, front and center. That's the most important one. And then there was, I want to say, about six more after that. There's two smaller ones that are on the left and right side of the main screen, and then there's even two more smaller ones further out on the side, and then there's a couple ones that actually feel like they're closer than those main screens. So there's lots of screens happening. They're not all going off at once. It moves and fluctuates as the stories change, but
in different things on different screens. So it's not just like repeat.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not like Fantasmic style where you have three screens in the round, but they all show the exact same thing. It does move and fluctuate and flow. Cinematic Celebration is a celebration of the movies that you can find in the Universal Parks. And but that's with an asterisk right now, because there are a couple of items that you see throughout the show that actually aren't in the parks as of yet. But maybe it's a glimpse into what we will see in the future.
A tease, if you will.
A tease. So let's do a breakdown of what's in the show. So it starts off with a bunch of fountains, and the main aspect that has to start off any Universal movie or property. What's that, Rhino? It starts off with the Universal fanfare and logo, and then the next section it moves into is Jurassic Park, which got Rhino very excited right off the bat. A great way to start off the show itself, too, so featuring clips from, especially from Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. I still haven't seen it yet, so no spoilers. And I will say, if you haven't seen it either, the show doesn't spoil anything for you from that.
No, it does. It doesn't even have the new dinosaur in it or whatever, you know. It's in the preview. I didn't ruin anything, but you know what I mean. The same how Jurassic World had a new dinosaur, and that dinosaur wasn't in it either, actually, I don't think.
I think it was.
It's hard because it looks exactly like the T-Rex, so I couldn't tell.
I believe it was, but that segues into a Fast and Furious section, which is neither Fast nor Furious, but
'tis neither.
No, but I do like this section because it features a lot of like reds and oranges, and I don't know, it captures that fast energy.
There's a one part with a car where Dom's car goes like pulls out across. I thought that one part was pretty cool, and I was like, all right, move on. Yeah. Like it kind of stuck in the section a little bit too much, and it was nice that there was a little Paul Walker in it.
Oh yeah. But that being said, the Jurassic Park section that starts it off is decently long, and then. Yeah. That moves right into the Fast and Furious section.
We should
say,
it's not Jurassic Park. It's Jurassic World. Yeah, there is no Jurassic Park.
Listen, I'll say it together.
I know, but I was disappointed.
But, it featured the music from Jurassic Park.
Yes, I was happy about that, yeah.
So, you're right. Fast and Furious kind of drags on a little bit too long for my personal taste. And then the next section of the show, to me, is the absolute standout moment of the entire show, and I wish it would have went on longer than it did, but the fact that it still is in there makes me happy enough, and at least while this show's going on, we know it's definitely never leaving Universal, and that, of course, is E.T. And
It was nice to have that one like classic franchise in there as well. I know Jurassic Park, but the thing is, like I said, it was visually all Jurassic World, so it was nice to have that, like, I don't know. There's just something about E.T., you know, when you hear the music and you see his little heart glowing and then your little heart glows.
Yeah, and they picked the perfect clips to use from E.T., you know, with E.T.'s finger lighting up in front of Elliot's face.
I'll be right here. Yeah,
and, of course, the iconic biking past the moon, mm-hmm. The logo for Amblin.
He did he did my favorite part, the weird echoey laugh he has.
Like. Yeah. You even get to see the spaceship in it. So I loved it, and that was a thing where with this show, it's like half a whole critique on this show, but also something that I just want to point out with an exception to E.T. here is cinematic spectacular. I think that suffered because it was a focus on 100 years of Universal movies, and so if you do love those movies, if you love Jaws, E.T., Jurassic Park, even going way, way back to classic monsters, if you can tolerate stuff like American Pie, that was a really good show for that aspect. But with this, it feels new, it feels current, it feels relevant, but then it still does have that magic by bringing in that like one moment with E.T.
Mm-hmm.
But so that's why I appreciate that section.
I should say that was just occurring to me while we're talking about this part right now, is that it was really interesting that it's focused on the movies, but on the movie franchises in the park, as opposed to like what you said before. So it was a little weird. I don't know. Go on.
Well, that leads into the next section, which I will call this the DreamWorks montage of mm-hmm. sorts. It gets kicked off with the music from Shrek, the do 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 do, I can't remember the name of the land, Duloc, and it's kind of like the music that you hear in the first movie, but that kicks off into a How to Train Your Dragon section, which I just like the movies.
You know what's interesting? They played the Shrek music, but you never see Shrek.
They also feature Rhino's favorite, Kung Fu Panda.
I love Kung Fu Panda.
Skadoosh. And then nice surprise, as soon as you start hearing that J-Tim, I Got This Feeling, or whatever the name of the song is, you know, trolls are coming around.
Yeah, which was one of those where you're like, oh, I forgot about that thing. Like,
is it Can't Stop the Feeling?
Yeah, it's Can't Stop the Feeling. Yeah, Can't Stop the Feeling. I don't know.
Can feel it.
I don't know. My argument on that song is that that Justin Timberlake created essentially what will be a wedding song for the next like million years. And I applaud that. It's one of those songs where you hear it and you're like, oh, this is overplayed. But then you listen and you're like, I love this song.
Yeah, well, it does well for the trolls, so they enjoy it. Then we get out of DreamWorks, go into Transformers, which is a blend of clips from the movie and then clips from the ride, which Rhino had a good critique on it, which I do agree.
Yeah, so it starts. I thought it started really cool because it makes the Transformers noise, but the fountains or the projections aren't like full steam, so it's not like, oh, that's clearly water. They like kind of
unfold
out of nowhere, really cool. And I was like, oh, that's really cool how they did that. But then, and it starts with like the Optimus Prime, I think, doing his like monologue from the first movie,
mm-hmm.
and then it goes into scenes from the ride, and you're like, oh wow, I never realized how inferior the animation in the ride is to the actual movie. And you know, it's not a knock on that, because when you're in the ride, I don't really see that and think that in the ride. But when you put them back to back, you're like, this part's not so good. And I feel like it ends on a nice, cool Transformer effect, but it does go on. I don't need to see the video from the ride. I just went on the ride.
Yeah, I will agree with that. Transformers goes on maybe a little bit too long, too.
Just a little bit, yeah.
But then we go into Harry Potter, the Harry Potter montage, which has Dementors. What?
Somebody's phone started ringing.
Oh, yeah, my phone started
ringing. Oh, okay, sorry.
I don't know why it was... Sorry, I apologize for that. It goes into Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
Dementors in it. It's, you know, you see the Harry getting his wand for the first time and lighting up Wingardium Leviosa.
A lot of the earlier iconic stuff, as opposed to the later films, you know. I don't know. I love his Expecto Patronum part.
Yeah, and you got Voldemort. pulling.
That's the best part.
Oops, hit when my mic.
The fire.
Yeah, it's a very cool section. I mean, but we're both Potterheads, so yeah. The more Harry Potter, the better. But I was very happy with this sequence. I feel like it was nice. It was tight, and they hit all of the highlights.
It does have like a smidge. I don't know if it's because it's in rehearsals. It felt like there was like a missed opportunity we talked about, because in the fourth movie, or I think it shows the clip of the fourth movie when he dives into the water, but he yells Aguamenti, and like you're like, but none of the water jumped up when he did it. So it like the cue happened, I think, like a couple seconds too early. So it was kind of like the timing might have been slightly off or something.
Yeah.
But it feels like, okay, well, maybe they'll fix it. Maybe they'll do whatever.
The only thing I felt like the Potter section missed out on, which was a little bit of motion with maybe a good Dumbledore quote in there somewhere.
I agree.
But other than that, just really.
But it does
really
do the fantastic Dumbledore Phoenix slap.
Yes.
And that was pretty cool.
That was very cool. From there, we go into our illumination section, which starts off with a very funny moment where Gru walks out and is like, "Oh, who has to follow that?" And of course, it is Gru and the minions from Despicable Me, and they go into their banana song, ba 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 na na
banana.
And, yeah, so you get a little bit of minion fun, just a brief. Highlight of Secret Life of Pets, also from Illumination, and then goes into Sing, which Rhino feels is an underutilized
movie.
I like
Sing. I think it's on Netflix right now. It might not still be there, but it was on Netflix. And it was one of those movies where I think, like, I thought it was going to be just horrible, and I watched it, and I was like, oh, this is enjoyable. And I took my nephew to see it, and he loves the pig in it, and the pig is, like, the main focus. Not the Reese Witherspoon pig, but the
this stage is about to explode with major piggy power.
Because I think the joke of like when she trips and falls and the guy's like, oh my gosh, are you okay? And the pig's like, I'm fine, thank you.
Yeah.
That's my nephew and I say that to each other now all the time. I'm fine, thank you. How are you? And I think I can't wait to bring him to see this that he can see the pig in it.
Yeah, it is pretty heavy on Sing there.
Yeah, I was surprised.
It gets a solid 30 seconds to a minute on it. Then it loops back around to Despicable Me again to finish it out, which is very, very nice. Definitely worthwhile. But that cues into the montage ending with the big fireworks finale.
I thought it was
at the same
the ending
time
was really good.
Yeah, it just, again, gives you one clip from each of the properties that you just got to see, and then cue the fireworks and have the big fountain shooting up for the finish. A very, very fitting ending to it. I enjoyed it a lot. The show runs, it was about 18 minutes, and I have no complaints about it. It's a really, really well done show.
The things I said are literally like minutia nitpicking. Yeah. Like from only seeing the video, I was like, wow, this is an excellent show. So, this is the type of show I think you need to experience in person to really get the feel for it. So normally when I watch a show like this on a video, I'm like, and so the fact that I like it as much as I do, that I think I'm going to really enjoy it in person.
Oh, yeah. No, it's a million times more impressive in person. You can get a great idea of it in the video, and you can enjoy the video, but to really get the feeling, you have to be standing there looking straight up, seeing how high the fountains go. And I thought that the properties that they used were excellent choices all throughout.
Maybe they'll add some of the Grinch from Illumination in there for Christmas time. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I would love if they could update this for the holidays, too. So, not obviously. Obviously not Halloween and Halloween Horror Nights, but with Christmas,
blood.
I feel like this could work perfectly at Christmas with like a nice Christmas tag being added onto it. So just really put the icing on the cake for it. But the show looks beautiful. I like that it's not. It's a nice blend. It's not all just shooting fountains. It has those fountain screens that help the story move along, or lack thereof a story. That's also a minutia complaint there, a minute complaint, is that it doesn't really have a story to it. It is a sequence followed by a sequence, followed by a sequence, followed by a sequence. Doesn't have that actual storyline to it. But I understand when you're trying to blend all those properties together, it's very hard to develop a story unless they would have chose like Groot or the minions to like narrate the story. But hey, that's
I like it. The
small
way
complaint.
Yeah.
And other than that, I think the use of fireworks, not a lot, but just enough. Just enough to add a little bit of extras to it. So I highly recommend going to see this show. I think it really is a nice ending to the night at Universal and something that you're going to want to check out next time you're here.
I agree.
Okay.
And I will.
Well, and thank you, Rhino, for taking us on this cinematic celebration journey.
Thank you for recording the video that I watched.
You're very welcome. So, of course, we'll have more coverage from this, especially with the opening event, all that stuff, and a nice good video to go out. This is one that I had to do a test one. Wasn't happy with the results, so we'll have a nice video up eventually to go along with it if you can't wait to see it in person. But thank you, Rhino, and thank you to everyone out there who listened and watched this. Of course, as always, if you need any extra information, head over to DizUnplugged.com, home of the show notes page for this show and all the others on the Diz Unplugged podcast network. It's where you can find links to Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and our email, and many, many more things. So check it out if you're interested. If you watch this on YouTube, go ahead, subscribe, hit that thumbs up if you enjoyed this, and also leave us lots of good comments below. You're starting to slow down with that, and I'm having less and less to read, so pick up the pace on it, please. Of course, if you're listening to this on iTunes, go ahead, subscribe, rate, and review us there, because you're still not doing that, and I'm getting upset about it. Really hurting my feelings. But yeah, again, thank you everyone out there who listen and watch this. That's going to do it this week with this episode, but we will be back next week with another episode of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. But until then, remember, we still haven't changed the name.